Nick Real DX with Health Innovation Media at HD Palooza in Washington, D.C. 2015. I'm here with George Freeman, who is the Minister of Health and Life Sciences from the UK. George, how are you doing?
Great. It's great to be here. I don't get out as much as I'd like. I used to work in the healthcare sector, and now I'm in government, and it's just lovely to be here. I'm now the Minister for All Health Data in the UK, and I wanted to come to Datapalooza first off after the election and come here and see what's going on and see the trends that are running and the companies and the technologies and to showcase some of what we're doing in the UK.
I saw you speak yesterday. I thought it was brilliant. The audience participation, the reaction to some of the things you said was outstanding. There was a lot of passion in the room, a lot of passion coming from you. Tell me what's happening in the UK, what you're seeing here, what you want to take back.
Thank you. I don't often get whoops when I'm giving a speech. Maybe UK audiences are just more reserved. So as I tried to explain on Monday, we have very different healthcare systems, but we face the same challenges, and they're global challenges. How do we diagnose earlier, keep people out of hospital, motivate and incentivize people to view their health as their most precious asset, empower people to really take responsibility for their healthcare, not punish people, but empower them and excite them and motivate them. Really, this is about taking health from a 20th century model in which it was essentially something done to you, done to us by more or less benign governments and their agencies when it was appropriate for them, to help in the 21st century being something that enlightened healthcare citizens, empowered and informed, allowed, enabled to take more responsibility over. That's the noble calling, I think. My mission in government is to embrace innovation into our health system to help us achieve that in a way that helps us do two key things: deliver more health for every health pound we spend, and we're going to spend more, and earn the money to pay for that health by being a home for new companies, new technologies that we can export around the world. So very different healthcare systems, but actually the Anglo-American axis in data, in informatics, in IT, in healthcare, I think is going to be incredibly powerful, and that's why I wanted to come here. We're doing some important things in the UK. We're really building a framework for data as central to health in three key ways. Firstly, for individual care. Secondly, for system monitoring and performance. And thirdly, for research. I actually came into the data game through research. Informatics is transforming the biopharma industry. We're going to develop new drugs for the 21st century. They're going to be, if not personalized immediately, they're already stratified, targeted. You're going to get a swab test. You're going to get a category of drug allocated to you. We're going to stop giving the wrong drugs to the wrong people. We're going to start profiling and doing the dosage for drugs to suit different types of patient. It's much more efficient. It's much more accurate. It means we can cut out time and cost of drug discovery. And it means we can get the right drugs to the right people. And so in pharmacology and pharmaceuticals, data is huge, let alone smart diagnostics, home care treatment, remote sensing. Data is the key to this new landscape. And I really wanted to come here for this week and talk to the key people.
Absolutely. So data is the key. And so there's this whole movement here in the U.S. where consumers, patients are wanting access to their data. It's almost a revolution here in demanding their data, access to their medical data. Are you experiencing the same type of phenomena in the UK, or tell me about that?
So we're at classic early adopter stage in the UK. It's a kind of 80-20 or even 90-10, both in the physicians, amongst physicians and amongst patients. Most people in the UK, I think you can divide people into two categories: those who've had a diagnosis and those who haven't. We're all going to get one eventually, right? I'm just in the pre-diagnostic phase of life. I'm 48. Pretty soon someone's going to tell me I've got something wrong with me. In the pre-phase, I think there are early adopters who want to take control of their lives. They want Fitbits. They want data. They want to know how many steps they walk. They want to know how fit they are. They really want to understand and take a grip of all that. And I think people will follow them. On the people who've had a diagnosis side, boy, do people get passionate then about data. First thing they do, they want to go on the internet. They want to know what's out there. You can't stop them. Why would you want to? They're hungry for information. But the vast majority of both pre-diagnosis citizens and post-diagnostic patients in the NHS are not yet data hungry. That revolution is coming.
What about wearables? And you talked about wearables and digital health and devices. What are you seeing in the UK on that?
So it's still really seen as a kind of high lifestyle wellness, kind of quite a metropolitan and quite a young kind of luxury cosmetic consumable item. but it's growing. What people haven't yet really realized is that that same technology is really empowering and transformational in the post-diagnostic stage of life. People at home, data picking up, it will avoid them having to go to their GP and queue to see their GP and have a test. Will avoid them having to go to the hospital, have a routine test. Will avoid them having to ring up and find out where their diagnostic information has gone. You know, the NHS, we still write to patients on letter. You often get three or four letters from different bits of the NHS. Every hospital has its records kept on cardboard and paper in big silos, 10 miles in my local hospital in a warehouse. So the early adopters are beginning to adopt. I mean, there's no one more passionate about data than British patients and research charities in research medicine, passionate about joining up social media, linking their data. But the vast majority of people are not there yet. I think it's changing pretty fast.
Awesome. So what's one of the, if you had to say the key takeaways from HD Palooza that you're going to take back across the pond, what would it be?
I've had a really interesting group of meetings with both kind of data advocates, people like you and the Palooza gang. But also I've been over to the Department of Health and I've seen the administration, various officials, the Privacy Office. And I think there's a sense of a coalescence of interests and of the solution to this is going to be found by really insurgent technology providers, little companies and not-for-profit charities, patient organizations, and big government and industry together. We need to get out of the silos of 20th century thinking, and I think there's a, because it's America, I love it. There's an optimism about where this all ends. In Britain, you know, we're an older country, and there's a sort of a tireder, more doubting mood around, particularly if it involves anything to do with big science, big data, big government. And I think the key is we've got to turn this agenda into a specific, tangible set of benefits for patients pretty fast. And what I'm get excited about is whether it's kind of booking your appointment online, getting your prescription online, getting a summary care record on your iPad. I think these things are transformational. When people see it, they won't ask why. They'll ask, why on earth haven't we done this for years? I think it'll be like online personal finance and banking. I'm old enough, I tapped the screen when I got my first online banking account, thinking, is my money really safe? And now, if you said, what about cashing a check at the bank? What about going down to... it's going to change really fast. And I think here you get a buzz, you get a sense of that community. I'd like there to be a Data Palooza UK in London.
Let's go.
And I'd like to get a similar buzz. And it needs to be driven, I think, by patients and researchers and clinicians, ultimately not by politicians. It needs to be something people realize. What we all realize is that this is part of good citizenship for the 21st century. I would just say something about the NHS. It's at its heart, there's a moral mission. It's actually in the original mandate to be a research organization, to use the collective benefit of being an integrated national health service to prevent disease for the next generation. And data is key to that. And so I think Nye Bevan, the left-wing firebrand founder of the NHS, would be here today elbowing me out of the way to be even more passionate about the role of genomics and data in 21st century NHS. I genuinely think this is about covenanting those values from 1947 in a 21st century organization, which will be powerful for our health system and for our economy. And it's about opportunity, prosperity, health, and wealth in a modern economy.
So George, here in the US, privacy is a really big concern. How about in the UK?
It's a huge issue. Interestingly, those people who, patients who've been involved in research, are hungry to share data and to use research, use data in research. But generally, there is a deep skepticism about what government might do with your data. And a few things less popular in Britain at the moment than the idea of kind of big government, big science, big data, big money, big industry. So we've got a lot of important work to do to reassure people and to put in place the necessary protections. And we're doing it. We've appointed Dame Fiona Caldecott as the National Data Guardian. She sits as the gatekeeper on this whole program. We've got a whole bunch of legal protections in place, but we are looking at them and want to make sure that they are clear. And on all of our projects, we are going the extra mile to make sure all the reassurances are there. Let me give you the most cutting edge example. In the genomics program, where we, groundbreaking initiative, Prime Minister Cameron and I are running, we've launched an initiative to sequence the entire genome of 100,000 NHS patients and combine it with their hospital records to build the world's first genomic medicine database. But guess what? It's going to be a reference library, not a lending library. No genomes are going to leave the country. No industry people can buy any of this data. It's a data reference set. People can come, plug and play, and help us build up the algorithms, the interpretive tools. We're going to charge people to be part of this initiative, but that money will be ring-fenced and go back into genomic medicine. We're launching a genomics diagnostic service in the NHS. I think, but obviously that's all consented by patients.
All volunteered.
Right.
They want to do this.
They want to do it.
So it's part. They're part of something bigger than themselves. We're all in this together, right?
That's right. And when you talk to these 100,000 or 80,000 patients, they'll tell you, I just don't want my children to suffer in the way that my family have. And I think that is a noble and inspiring cause. And I think it'll be a groundbreaking project, because the ultimate data of all data, your own genomic data, shared for the benefit of others. Now, in other more prosaic uses of data, we're building a whole series of protections in. I think there's still a lot of public concern, and I understand it, and I want to make sure that we tackle it. And I think the best way to tackle it is, firstly, to make clear what the benefits of this data are. Secondly, to make clear that we understand and are across the different usage and the risks. I don't think we can legislate for every single activity. We need to put in place very strong penalties and disincentives for the inappropriate use of data, and then as many protections as we can. But we don't want to build a framework that is so complex that the data never gets used for the benefit of patients. And that is a difficult challenge, but we are absolutely committed to getting it right.
It's outstanding. Very exciting stuff, George. Thank you so much today.
When I get